Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Okay, so get ready for this one. Someone wants to know how thinking holistically can improve things, but the source material is, well, let's just say, a bit surprising. It's an academic paper, but the case study they use, get this, it's all about optimizing your sex life. Now, before you hit the stop button, I promise we'll keep things classy. We're going to distill those key insights and show you how this approach can actually be applied to, well, all sorts of systems in your life. And to help us break it all down, we've got expert speaker here who, let's just say, is a master at simplifying the complex.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, the author uses this kind of conventional example to highlight the difference between, you know, a traditional and a holistic approach.
Okay, so before we get too deep into it, can we take a step back and define what exactly is holistic thinking?
Sure. In the simplest terms, it's about understanding how all the parts of a system work together, rather than just focusing on optimizing each individual part. Kind of like, you know, if you're baking a cake, it's not enough to just have all the perfect ingredients. You need to understand how they all interact during baking to create a truly delicious whole, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So how do you actually put this holistic thinking into practice?
Well, the paper outlines a process for it. And one of the key ideas is to shift our focus from individual components to the relationships and interactions between them. It's really about seeing that bigger picture.
Okay, so I'm starting to see where this is going. Instead of just trying to make each part as good as it can possibly be on its own, you're saying you need to look at how all those parts work together to create the best possible whole.
Exactly. And the paper argues that this approach, optimizing for the interactions rather than the individual parts, consistently leads to, you know, better overall systems.
Okay, I think we've talked enough about cake and other things. Let's get to some real world examples. The paper talks about everything from like weapon systems to the Apollo program. Where do we start?
Let's start with World War I tanks. Kassar argues that their impact on the war could have been much more decisive and potentially even saved lives if holistic thinking had been applied to their design and use.
Wait, so you're saying even something as seemingly straightforward as a tank could benefit from this approach?
Oh, absolutely. The traditional view was to see the tank as this separate weapon, you know, optimized for individual performance. But from a holistic perspective, the battlefield itself is the system. The tank is just one element within that system, is part of the interface, you could say, between the Allied and enemy forces.
So instead of just focusing on like how powerful or fast the tank is, you'd also consider how it interacts with the infantry, with the terrain, the enemy's tactics, and so on.
Exactly. Imagine if they'd really thought about how tanks could be better integrated with the infantry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe even minimizing casualties in the process. That's holistic thinking in action.
Wow, that totally changes how you think about something as, well, seemingly simple as a tank. What other examples does the paper use?
Another really compelling one is the Royal Air Force's air defense system. During the Battle of Britain, this system was remarkably effective because it optimized the flow of information and resources between its different components.
Okay, so it's not just about having the most powerful radar or the fastest planes. It's about how all those pieces work together to create a truly cohesive defense system.
Precisely. They understood those interactions between the radar stations, the command centers, and the fighter squadrons, which allowed them to process information quickly and deploy resources to exactly where they were needed. It was quite remarkable, really.
It's like a perfectly choreographed dance where every single move is in sync with all the others. Okay, I'm definitely starting to see a pattern here.
Right.
Ready for another example?
Sure, let's talk about the Apollo program. Now, you might not immediately think of a space mission as a system with, you know, interacting parts in the same way as a battlefield or an air defense network. But from a holistic perspective, the Apollo program can be viewed as a system connecting two primary subsystems, the Earth and the Moon.
Whoa, that's a pretty big picture view. So the spacecraft, the astronauts, mission control, all of that becomes part of the interface between these two, well, massive celestial bodies.
Exactly. The goal wasn't just to build powerful rockets or, you know, technologically advanced spacecraft. It was about efficiently transferring people between these two points in space.
So it's about optimizing that transfer, that interaction between the Earth and the Moon, rather than just focusing on the individual components of the mission.
Precisely. And that's a major reason why the Apollo program was so successful. They built an entire system designed to optimize that Earth-Moon interaction.
Okay, yeah. This is all starting to click for me. Holistic thinking is, well, it's powerful stuff, I gotta say. Now, I know the paper also talks about this idea of complexity and how it plays into all of this.
Yeah, the paper makes this distinction between real-world complexity, which is, you know, just inherent to the system, and artificial complexity, which arises from poor system design. It's the unnecessary complication we often introduce ourselves.
So it's like that tangled mess of cords behind your TV, which is, well, just kind of messy by nature, versus a system you designed yourself that has way too many steps and approvals and makes it way more complicated than it needs to be.
A perfect example.
And the paper suggests that a lot of the problems we face stem from this artificial complexity.
Exactly. We often make things harder on ourselves than they need to be.
So it seems like holistic thinking can help us avoid creating those unnecessary layers of complexity in the first place. If you focus on optimizing those interactions, you're more likely to end up with simpler, more elegant systems right from the start.
Exactly. It encourages us to design systems that are inherently simpler by focusing on those essential interactions that drive the outcome we want.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting. Let's bring things a bit closer to home. The paper actually discusses the design of a distance learning classroom. Now, I know you've been teaching online for years. You must have some insights on this one.
Yeah, I do. It's a great example of how holistic thinking leads to innovative solutions, you could say. Traditional approaches might focus on the technology or the physical space, right? But the holistic approach starts by understanding the interaction between the instructor and the student.
So it's not about the bells and whistles, the fancy tech. It's about creating a system that truly facilitates effective learning and engagement between those two groups.
Exactly. The paper actually describes a specific case where this approach led to a really creative solution for a technical problem they were having.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So the course involved both pre-recorded lectures and live online sessions. But there was this recurring issue with audio distortion during those live sessions.
Ah, the joys of technology, right? We've all been there. So how did holistic thinking help them solve this problem?
Well, instead of just trying to fix that technical glitch, which was proving to be quite difficult, they took a step back and looked at the whole system. They realized that the core interaction was really about the exchange of information between the instructor and the students.
So the focus shifted from how do we get this audio working to how do we ensure effective learning and communication despite this obstacle?
Precisely. And this led them to a really surprisingly elegant solution, actually. They carefully formatted those pre-recorded lectures so that they would function seamlessly in an asynchronous environment, with clear cues, key points, and even designated spaces for questions and feedback.
So they basically designed the lectures to be as self-contained and engaging as possible, even without that live interaction.
Yes, and then during the live sessions, they could really focus on discussion, clarification, and, you know, applying the material, which created a more collaborative learning experience overall.
Wow, that's fantastic. They turned what seemed like a limitation into an opportunity for an even more effective and engaging learning experience.
That's the power of holistic thinking. You see the big picture, understand the core interactions, and then, you know, you adapt and innovate to optimize those interactions, even when you face constraints.
All right, I'm officially on board. Holistic thinking is, it's awesome. But are there any examples in the paper of this being used to analyze systems that already exist, not just design new ones from scratch?
Oh, certainly. Think about libraries, for example. The traditional view might be to see a library as well, simply a collection of books.
Which, I mean, it is, but I have a feeling you're about to blow my mind again.
From a holistic perspective, a library is a system connecting two primary subsystems, the source of information and the person seeking that information. The books themselves, the building, the librarians, they all become part of this interface, facilitating that connection.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. It's not just about housing books. It's about enabling that interaction, that exchange of knowledge between the source and the seeker.
Exactly. And if you look at how libraries have evolved over time, you can see a clear emphasis on optimizing that interface. We've gone from, you know, simple book lending to digital catalogs, online databases, personalized recommendations.
It's amazing how much libraries have changed while staying true to that core function. Connecting people with information.
It is. And it shows how holistic thinking isn't just this design principle. It's really a way of seeing and understanding systems. But speaking of understanding systems, we need to circle back to something we mentioned earlier, this idea of simplifying complexity.
Right, because one of the key benefits of holistic thinking is that it often leads to simpler, more elegant solutions.
Exactly. When you optimize those essential interactions, you naturally eliminate a lot of that unnecessary complexity. The paper actually provides some guidelines for doing this. One of the key ideas is to break down complex systems into two primary subsystems and that crucial interface where the action happens.
So it's like finding that bridge, that connection point where the real exchange takes place.
Precisely. And then you optimize that interface.
Yeah.
Make it as smooth and efficient as possible.
I'm having a little trouble visualizing this.
Sure. Imagine two cities separated by a river. Traditionally, you might focus on optimizing each city individually, you know, its infrastructure, its economy, its services. But holistically, you recognize that their prosperity hinges on the interaction between them.
So the focus shifts to that river crossing, that point of connection.
Exactly. And a well-designed bridge representing that optimized interface becomes the key to facilitating trade, communication, collaboration, all of that between the two cities.
Okay. I think I'm starting to see bridges everywhere now. This concept is really sinking in.
It's a powerful one. And it really does apply to so many areas of life. Once you start thinking in terms of subsystems and interfaces, you see the world in a whole new light.
I totally agree. And I'm willing to bet our listeners are having some aha moments right now, too.
I hope so. But before we get too carried away, I do want to emphasize that applying holistic thinking effectively requires, well, domain knowledge. You need to have a deep understanding of that specific field or system to accurately identify those essential subsystems and interfaces.
So it's not just about these abstract principles. It's about combining those principles with real-world expertise.
Exactly. And that's what makes holistic thinking so powerful. It bridges that gap between theory and practice.
This is also fascinating, and it's really making me think about all those systems in my own life and work that could benefit from this approach. But before we send our listeners off on their own holistic thinking adventures, let's dive into a few more examples from the paper. I think it'll really help to solidify these concepts for them.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I was particularly intrigued by the example about the formation of the INCOS Australia chapter, you know, that professional organization for systems engineers.
Right.
They faced a unique challenge when establishing this chapter.
Yes. It's a fascinating case study in how unconventional thinking can lead to surprisingly elegant solutions. There was a strong desire for an INCOS chapter in Australia. But also this desire to maintain a single, unified professional organization for systems engineers in the country.
Right. So the traditional approach might have been to just create a separate INCOS chapter, which could have led to division and competition and, you know, all that. But they took a more holistic approach, right?
They did. They looked at the existing organization, the Systems Engineering Society of Australia, or SESA, and they reimagined it as a system with three subsystems, one of which became the INCOSIS Australia chapter.
Wait, so they essentially created a chapter within a chapter?
Precisely. And they did it in a way that minimized complexity and maximized efficiency. Members could join both organizations with a single dues payment, and information sharing was, you know, streamlined and simplified.
That's incredible. It's a perfect example of how holistic thinking can lead to these creative solutions that, well, might not be apparent at first glance.
It is. It highlights the importance of looking beyond those traditional boundaries and structures and considering the system as a whole.
I love it. Okay, I think it's time to wrap up this first part of our deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground, and I'm already feeling, inspired to apply some of these concepts in my own life.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm sure our listeners are feeling the same way. It's interesting, isn't it, thinking about how this idea of optimizing the interface could apply to something as complex as well, international relations.
Now that you mention it, I think the paper does touch on that. Something about the relationship between the U.S. and China.
Exactly. Kasser argues that viewing the U.S.-China relationship as a system rather than just, you know, two separate entities can lead to a more nuanced understanding of those global dynamics.
So instead of focusing on each country's individual interests and actions, we should be looking at those interactions between them, those points of cooperation and conflict.
Precisely. And the paper suggests that by optimizing this interface, you know, finding ways to manage that competition, while also fostering collaboration, we could potentially create a more stable and prosperous global environment, you could say.
That's a really compelling idea. It's like that bridge we were talking about earlier, that connection point that allows for smoother traffic flow between those two cities, except in this case, the cities are superpowers. And the bridge is, well, diplomacy and strategic cooperation.
Exactly. A perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And just like with a well-designed bridge, optimizing this interface requires careful planning, communication, and a willingness to really invest in the long-term health of that relationship.
Yeah, I'm starting to see how this holistic thinking can really shift your perspective on things, even something as complex and, well, seemingly intractable as international relations. It's about looking beyond those individual parts and focusing on those connections, those interactions that really drive the system as a whole.
Exactly. And that shift in perspective can be incredibly powerful. It allows us to see new possibilities, identify potential solutions, and ultimately create systems that are more resilient, more adaptable, and, well, more successful.
I'm really starting to grasp the power of this approach, but I'm curious, can this holistic thinking thing also be applied on a more personal level, like in our own lives, our relationships, our careers?
Absolutely. It's not just for complex systems like, you know,
governments and businesses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can apply these principles to, well, anything, really. Think about your career, for instance.
Okay, let's explore that for a second.
Instead of just focusing on individual job titles or skills, try to see your career as a system of interconnected experiences and relationships.
So it's about understanding how each job, each project, each interaction contributes to that overall trajectory of your career path.
Precisely. And then you can start to think about how to optimize those interfaces, those connection points between those experiences. How can you leverage each opportunity to, you know, learn, grow, build meaningful relationships?
I like that. It's about being intentional and strategic rather than just passively moving from one job to the next.
Exactly. And by taking that holistic view, you can create a career that is, well, more fulfilling, more purposeful, and ultimately more successful.
You know, this conversation is really making me think about my own career path. I've always been someone who loves to learn and explore new things, but I haven't always been so intentional about how those experiences connect.
Well, there's no time like the present to start thinking holistically about your career. What are your passions? What are your strengths? What kind of impact do you want to make in the world?
Those are great questions. I think for me, it's about finding ways to combine my love of learning with my desire to, you know, help others. Maybe that means exploring opportunities in education or mentorship or finding ways to use my skills to make a positive difference in my community.
Those sound like wonderful aspirations. And by approaching your career with that holistic mindset, you'll be well equipped to identify and pursue those opportunities that truly align with those aspirations.
This is so eye-opening. It's like, this approach can really empower you to take ownership of your career path and create a journey that is both meaningful and successful. But let's not forget about relationships. Can holistic thinking help us navigate those complex dynamics as well?
Of course. Think about it. Every relationship is a system with two individuals as those primary subsystems.
Mm-hmm.
And the interactions between them forming that crucial interface.
So instead of just focusing on our own needs and desires in a relationship, we should be paying attention to how we interact with our partner, how we communicate, how we support each other.
Exactly. And just like with any other system, optimizing this interface is essential for the health and well-being of that relationship.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this applies. So instead of getting caught up in, you know, individual arguments or conflicts, we should be looking at that bigger picture of how those interactions contribute to the overall dynamic of the relationship.
Precisely. And by focusing on strengthening those positive interactions, improving communication, finding ways to support each other's growth, we can build stronger, more fulfilling relationships.
This makes me think about that quote from the paper, "The whole is greater than the sum of its parts." It's that really captures the essence of holistic thinking, especially when it comes to relationships.
I agree. It's not just about two individuals coming together. It's about creating something new, something greater than either person could achieve on their own. And that requires a conscious effort to optimize those interactions, to build a strong and healthy interface between those two subsystems.
This is all so fascinating. It's amazing how these principles can apply to so many different aspects of our lives. And I think it's really empowering to realize that we have the ability to optimize these systems to make them work better for us.
I couldn't agree more. Holistic thinking isn't just a theoretical concept. It's a practical tool that we can all use to improve our lives and, well, the world around us.
I'm really starting to feel that sense of empowerment, but I also want to acknowledge that applying these principles in real life can be, well, challenging, to say the least. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, lose sight of that bigger picture, and fall back into those old patterns of thinking.
That's true. It takes conscious effort and practice to really cultivate that holistic mindset. But the rewards are, well, they're worth the effort.
So what are some practical tips for incorporating holistic thinking into our daily lives? Where do we even begin?
Well, a great place to start is by simply becoming more aware of the systems you interact with on a daily basis, whether it's your family, your workplace, your community, or even your own personal habits and routines. Start to see them through that lens of subsystems and interfaces.
So it's about taking a step back and asking ourselves, what are the key components of this system? How do they interact with each other? And how can I optimize those interactions to create a more positive and effective outcome?
Exactly. And don't be afraid to experiment, to try new things, and to see what works best for you. Remember, there's no one-size-fits-all approach to holistic thinking. It's about finding what resonates with you and applying it in a way that makes sense for your unique situation.
I love that. It's about taking ownership of the systems we're a part of and finding those creative solutions that work for us.
Precisely. And by embracing that sense of ownership and empowerment, we can truly unlock that transformative power of holistic thinking.
This has been such an insightful conversation. It feels like we've barely scratched the surface of this topic, but I'm already buzzing with ideas and inspiration.
I'm glad to hear it, and I hope our listeners are feeling the same way.
You know what? Before we move on, there's one example in the paper that I want to make sure we don't overlook. It was about a new CEO who used holistic thinking to turn around a struggling company. This one really resonated with me.
Oh, yes. That's a classic example of how a shift in perspective can lead to, well, dramatic results. Mind if I give our listeners a quick rundown?
Please do. I think they'll find it just as fascinating as I did.
So, the company was facing declining profits, low morale, you know, the whole nine yards, and the new CEO, instead of immediately focusing on cost cutting or restructuring or, you know, whatever the traditional playbook might dictate, he decided to take a more holistic approach. He wanted to understand those underlying systemic issues that were contributing to the company's struggles.
So he stepped back and looked at the big picture, tried to understand how all the different parts of the company were interacting.
Exactly. He saw the company as a system with, you know, multiple subsystems, departments, teams, individual employees, and he recognized that the interfaces between these subsystems were absolutely crucial to the company's overall health and performance.
Okay, I see where this is going. Instead of just trying to fix those individual problems in isolation, he focused on improving the flow of communication, collaboration, innovation across the entire organization.
Precisely. He implemented new communication channels, encouraged cross-functional collaboration, empowered employees to take ownership of their work and contribute their ideas. And the results were, well, remarkable. Morale improved, productivity increased, and the company started to, you know, turn around.
That's amazing. It really highlights the power of looking at things holistically. By focusing on optimizing those crucial interfaces, he was able to create a more cohesive, engaged, and ultimately more successful organization.
It's a powerful lesson for anyone in a leadership position, whether it's in business, government, or even just within their own families and communities. By embracing that holistic perspective, we can create systems that are more resilient, more adaptable, and ultimately more effective at achieving their goals.
All right, I think it's time to wrap up this second part of our deep dive. We've explored so many fascinating examples, and I'm already feeling inspired to apply some of these concepts in my own life.
Me too.
But I'm sure our listeners are eager to hear what else we've got in store for them in the final part of this episode.
I'm excited to share some more insights and practical tips with them.
All right, welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into holistic thinking. I don't know about you, but my brain is, well, it's buzzing with all these incredible examples and insights.
It has been quite a journey, and we've only just, you know, scratched the surface of what's possible with this approach.
Yeah, we've seen how holistic thinking can be used for, like,
yeah,
everything. Designing tanks, classrooms, understanding libraries, even international relations.
Yeah.
But let's bring it all home for our listeners now. What are the key takeaways here? What can they actually do with this information?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that holistic thinking is a practical tool, not just some abstract philosophy. It's about understanding that. Optimizing those interactions within a system often leads to better results than just focusing on those individual parts.
It's like that aha moment when you realize you've been trying to perfect each ingredient in a recipe, but you haven't even considered how they all work together during baking.
Exactly. And once you start seeing the world through this lens, well, the possibility is pretty much endless. You can apply it to your work, your relationships, your personal goals, anything that involves a system of, you know, interconnected parts.
It's like, having a new mental model, a new way of approaching challenges and finding solutions that you might not have even considered before.
Precisely. It encourages you to ask different questions, consider different perspectives, and you know, experiment with different approaches, which can lead to some really innovative and unexpected results.
You know, we've talked a lot about the benefits of holistic thinking, but it can be, well, challenging to put it into practice, right? It requires us to step outside our comfort zones, question our assumptions, and sometimes even embrace a more complex view of the world.
That's true. It's not always easy to, you know, shift your perspective and see that bigger picture, especially when you're dealing with familiar problems or those ingrained habits.
Yeah, it can feel like you're adding more complexity when the whole point is to simplify things by focusing on those most important interactions.
Right. But remember, that initial effort is an investment. Once you start thinking holistically, you often end up with simpler, more elegant solutions that are easier to implement and maintain.
So it's about finding that
that
sweet spot between seeing the complexity of the system and identifying those key leverage points where you can make the biggest impact.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting. Because once you start looking for those leverage points, you often discover these surprising connections and unexpected opportunities for, well, innovation.
Okay, I'm feeling inspired, but I also want to be realistic here. I mean, our listeners might be thinking, this all sounds great, but where do I even begin? How do I actually apply holistic thinking in my own life?
Well, a good place to start is by simply paying attention to those systems you interact with every day, whether it's your family, your workplace, your community, even your own, you know, personal habits and routines. Start to see them through that lens of subsystems and interfaces.
So it's about being curious, observant, and willing to experiment.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. Sometimes the most innovative solutions come from, you know, questioning the way things have always been done.
I think one of the things that I found helpful is to visualize the system I'm trying to optimize, whether it's, you know, drawing a simple diagram or just creating a mental map. It helps me to see those connections and identify those key interfaces.
That's a great tip. Visualizing the system can be incredibly helpful. It allows you to step back from those details and see that bigger picture, which is, well, essential for holistic thinking.
And once you have that visual representation, you can start to brainstorm different ways to improve the system. You can experiment with different configurations, different processes, different ways of interacting.
Exactly. It becomes a playground for, you know, innovation. And the best part is you don't need to be some expert in systems thinking to do this. Anyone can apply these principles with a little bit of practice and a willingness to, you know, think outside the box.
This has been a fantastic deep dive. We've given our listeners a whole new toolkit for approaching challenges and finding those creative solutions.
I agree. And I hope they'll take these ideas and, well, run with them, because the potential for positive change is truly limitless.
So to our listener, we want to leave you with this. What is one system in your life you can look at differently now? Start thinking about those crucial interfaces, and you might unlock some truly surprising and delightful solutions. Happy optimizing.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.